want to encourage you this morning in your walk with the Lord. There's a, I'd like to start in Romans, the 12th chapter, first verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And really, this part of this passage, when I think about it, I think about the journey that we're on to follow the Lord, that we get saved and Lord saves us from our sins. And then we have a daily walk with him where we really have to dedicate and consecrate our lives to him. And the wonderful, wonderful things that the Lord has for us in salvation are found in those places of consecration and commitment to the Lord. The more that I can limit my own self, decrease, if you will, and the more that we can lean on God, the more we'll find his blessing, his strength, his power, his grace, the substance that we need to deal with the burdens of life. And well, that consecration or that commission, that commitment to the Lord, we can call it it's something that I think we all do in our life. It's maybe a beginning point where we say, Lord, I want to live for you. And we make that consecration. But I have found that in my walk with the Lord is that there's a daily commitment, but there are things in our life that we come up against that there's a special place of consecration, yes, of commitment, yes, of where we give those things to the Lord. And they're not usually easy. It's not something that is of small stature, if you can call it that. They're not little things usually. If I don't care about something, it's pretty easy to just, I don't really care about that. I can just set it aside. But it's usually some of the heavier things in life, some of the heavier burdens that we carry, that take a special place of commitment or consecration where we say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you and rely on you to work in it as you see fit. And there is a peace and there is a comfort that the Lord brings if we can get to that place. Yes. And then I've testified to this already, I think, in this meeting, but I have a tendency to still want to control things and want to arrange things as I would have them. And even though I may have come to a place where I can consecrate or commit, sometimes I find myself going back and picking those things up again. And I maybe I've ran out of patience, not out loud, but just in my nature, and decided that I want to see a certain outcome. And there can be a tendency on our part to want to kind of go back and pick those things, yes, up again.
Yeah.
And I would encourage us this morning that the Lord has a place of commitment where we can give those things to the Lord and then leave them, yes, with the Lord. I want to read you a story and remind you, you've probably all read it, but the Lord inspired it to my heart, about Hannah. Mm-hmm. Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And I want to read you just a little bit this morning about her experience. I'd like to start in 1 Samuel in the first chapter. Elkanah, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it works for me. That was her husband, and he had two wives. And that immediately is a problem in my book. But he had two wives. So to just start with, not that having one's bad, but having two is a bad idea. He had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And I am sure that we can all take in just even that short verse,
yes,
what that meant,
yeah,
in a household. And the challenges that had to have been there for Hannah to deal with. But it went beyond that. And Elkanah, he tried to do well. He gave his offerings. He gave to one wife, had all her sons and her daughters. their portion. Then he also gave to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And our adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. So now not only was this the elephant in the room, it was more than that, it was out in the open. And she had to deal with a constant berating. If you have to give me a little bit of liberty, but if I put myself and I think about that situation, I can just imagine the things that Hannah had to deal with on a regular basis. Around the dinner table, I'm Hannah, and there's the other wife and all of her children and my husband. And I would imagine that there were a lot of emotions and feelings that she went through. In the seventh verse, he said, and as he did so year by year, they went up to the house of the Lord, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they had to go up and make their offerings and their sacrifices. And so there was a constant, continual reminder of the position that she was in. And while I can't say I've been like Hannah, I can say there's been some things in life that have been there year after year, and things that were unique to me. And I don't know that I've had a person provoke me sore, but there is an enemy that likes to provoke us sore. And he knows the right buttons to push. He knows how to get us going. And it's usually not on Sunday morning when we're singing praise and worship songs. It's usually in the quiet times. It's usually in the times when we're a little tired or we've expended ourselves. And the enemy comes along and wants to provoke and to push. It says, and so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. And then did Elkanah, her husband, to her, said, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And I don't know. I think he needed a talking to, maybe. I'm not sure. But he's asking her these questions, and he knows the problem. And people can be well-intentioned, and you know, it's one of those things that mentally, I can logically put down the reasons why I shouldn't be so troubled about. So I can, I think he felt like he had a leg to stand on. He could say, well, I've given you a healthy portion, and haven't I been a good husband? And look, isn't your life pretty good? I mean, you're safe. You have a good place to sleep. You've got food. I'm leading you in good ways. I mean, And he kind of just wanted her to stop thinking, worrying about that so much, and kind of count her blessings, so to speak. It's a good song, Count Your Blessings, but when I'm not feeling too good, I don't really like to hear somebody tell me, count your blessings, 1, 2, 3, aren't they? And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm really not there right now. This is heavy at the moment. And that's really what he, you know, why are you not eating? Why are you so grieved? Why is this so hard? Am I not better than 10 sons? And it's the thing is that when we have some of the burdens of life, is you can't logically explain them away.
Yeah.
And I can't fill some of those voids with just other things. And I appreciate the blessings that the Lord has given me in my life. And I'm sure you do too, that there are many things I can praise God for, but there are also some things that make me sad.
Yes.
That are hard to carry.
Right.
And it comes out, I think, in most of my messages, but I think often about the seasons that we're in, and that some seasons have some burdens that others don't. And there are some things that we encounter in life that we never expected to, that we can go. For Hannah, this was something she dealt with once she got married and things didn't work out like she thought they would. But I think that there's things I didn't expect or foresee to happen, and then I'm in this position. And I didn't maybe prepare myself. If I know something's coming, sometimes I can have a little different attitude. But if I have an expectation, and that wasn't met like it wasn't for Hannah, it was a heavy burden for her.
Yes.
And while her husband had good intentions, her other wife did not. And she had to deal with this quite a bit. 10th verse says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." This is a close place. We sing the song that says that just to know that he knows, that the Lord understands. And that song, there's been many times in my life that I felt like maybe I couldn't really express everything that my heart felt. But there is such a consolation in knowing that when we get on our knees before the Lord and we express our deepest places, that just that communing with God, that there is an understanding. And I think the Lord saw Hannah for where she was. He understood entirely. I like that about God. I like that I don't have to tell him all the details.
Right.
You know, if you go to a friend or someone that doesn't understand, you try to express and your words fall short. Because I can't, I've got to tell you the backstory. Well, then I got to tell you what, I'm thankful that when I go before the Lord, Lord, you know where I am.
Right.
And she was in a sore, bitter place. Yes. This was hard. And I don't know if she had other woman friends, but I'm not sure they would have understood either. I don't think they could have ministered to her like what she needed from the Lord. But here in the 11th verse, it says, "She vowed a vow, and so, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head." I don't know that I've ever made a deal with God like that, that if you'll give me the desire of my heart. But I for sure have asked the Lord to touch places in my life and then gave him promises. Lord, if you'll do this, you know, there is a communion with God that we have.
Yes.
That, Lord, if you'll touch this place in my life, I love you anyway. But this means something to me. And while I may not be able to, guess I've never been so bold as to say, God, I want you to give me what I want. Because I trust enough in his design and his providence to say, Lord, you know what's best. And that is our consecration. Is, Lord, you know where my heart is. You know what's best. But still, there is a commitment or a consecration we give to the Lord when we put these things before him. And I think she might have done this at different times. I don't know about this particular vow. But for sure, she had prayed about this for some time. I want to skip down here just a little bit when Eli, the 17th verse says, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." That challenges me. Because I go before the Lord and I lay, but there was a touch that the Lord gave her in this place. And I will say it's not, there's times I've brought my burden to the Lord and I don't feel like I got the touch that I needed.
Right.
And the countenance of my heart, maybe it doesn't show on my face, is still really in the same place. Mm-hmm. The Lord doesn't always just answer our prayer the first time we come and say, My heart is heavy. And then, it's not some magic bullet or some magic potion that just I apply and then I prayed and so now I'm happy. No, there are times I get up from an altar prayer and my burden is still heavy.
Yes.
My countenance is still sad somewhat. I know the Lord heard my prayer, but I still need something from the Lord that touches that place in my life.
Right.
And there's one place that says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." And I think those places of struggle, but he says that in your patience, that there is a perfect work that makes us content, that brings a place of contentment or satisfaction before the Lord. So in some of those closest places, I've had to, Lord, you know where I'm at again. And I did good for a while. I had a good countenance, But I'm still struggling with this place, and I need a touch from you.
Yes.
But what Hannah had here, and God is faithful to do this in his time, is to bring an inspiration and a touch to those things yes. in our life. He does do it for us. He as he did for Hannah, the Lord comes down and he ministers. He yes. truly ministers to those places in our life. And what challenges me about this to remember it and to have the commitment that Hannah had, that once she felt the Lord had heard her cry and ministered to it, it changed her countenance yes, before the Lord.
That's right.
And that's you know, we talked about the red zone. That place where I feel like the Lord has touched me and he has given me that answer, then I really have a responsibility, so to speak, or a commitment to say, okay, Lord, and there is a strength and a peace that comes from the touch of the Lord in that place that I can say the Lord has heard my cry.
Yes, that's right.
And it's not about just making myself feel better.
Right.
You know, I like peanut butter toast and chocolate milk. They are something I enjoy, especially in the evening when I'm tired. And there, I get satisfaction from it. It changes my countenance just a little bit, to be honest. But it's temporary and it's temporal. There are things that I can make myself feel better. Maybe doesn't touch the deep places. But this touch that comes from the Lord, there is a weight and a carrying factor, an enabling factor that changes our count. He has changed the position of my heart. She didn't have a child yet. Lord hadn't given it, but her countenance was no more sad.
Right.
And from that point on, what you read is that she rose up early in the morning and she worshiped before the Lord. I believe that her focus changed from that thing that the Lord had touched to the goodness of God.
Yes.
That was where her mind went to. Her heart was turned towards God's blessing. And we do that even, I think, when we have struggles, we feel like we're still struggling with. That is still our kind of our watchword and kind of our place of encouragement, is to think about the good things of God. But for me, there was a little bit of just turning the page, so to speak. The Lord has heard my cry on this, and now I'm just going to worship the Lord.
Yes.
He's touched me in this place.
Yes.
Do you think that the woman stopped provoking her? The other wife? Well, I don't think so. I don't think the Lord. Maybe the Lord touched her. Might have been my prayer, Lord, like cover her mouth. But he didn't. I think that from that point on, I am sure she still had a lot of things to say. But there was a difference.
Yes, that's right.
There's a difference.
Yes.
The Lord has heard my cry.
Yes, thank the Lord.
He's heard it. And I feel that he's touched that place, and the sting and the bite and some of the ways in the past that really got down under. There was a testimony that she had that the Lord's
yes,
heard my cry.
Lord.
You know, we're dependent on that
yes,
in our life.
That's right.
We are so dependent on the Lord to hear our cry.
Yes.
And that in this meeting, I really appreciate that we had the Sinkspiration on Friday, because we want whatever messages the Lord gives us. But normally in a revival meeting, I sometimes can feel like I go home and feel like, man, I just beat them up over the head for 4 days straight. But the Sinkspiration there's so much hope, and we sing about the good things of God and how his eyes are turned towards us and he hears our cry. And the testimony, because this really is the part that we want to focus on.
Yes.
And we're desperate and
yes,
we're dependent on that divine touch
right,
from the Lord.
Yes.
So it's not just in the small things or the things that are easy to let go of. She found her worship to the Lord. The Lord had touched this place, and I'm sure that what was her name? Peniah probably still had lots to say. But there's another aspect of this that I feel like the Lord inspired to my heart, was that Once Hannah had the child, the Lord brought that through. I'd like to read in the 24th verse and said, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young.
Yes.
Even, I mean, the challenge that that the Lord inspired to my heart was that the Lord had answered her prayer, but there was still a commitment that she had to the Lord to fulfill and to follow through with what the Lord had inspired to her heart. Because I think even the vow that she gave before God was something that he inspired her with. The Lord had need of Samuel.
Yes.
When you read about Samuel's life and some of the things that he did, the Lord needed that. He needed that. Eli's sons were not good men. He needed someone in that place. And he had a plan. And he inspired her with that. And then there come a time that she had to, I would say, fulfill or to follow through on the commitment and the consecration that she had made to the Lord. When I, you know, we sometimes like to write a title that, well, it's commitment, but it's not only commitment, there's follow through that follows with commitment.
That's right.
It's really a twofold part.
Yes.
I can commit things to the Lord, but then when he answers, I have a follow through that I've got to go through with.
Yes.
It would have been really easy for Hannah to say, well, this is the son that the Lord gave me, and I'll give him to the Lord, but you know, I probably should teach him his letters first. And probably needs to learn how to do math. That'd help him in his service to the Lord. And I probably should teach him how to work with his hands, because the Lord might use that. There are a lot of things that she could have made qualifications. Well, the Lord gave him to me. So in these, when the Lord comes down and ministers to those places, and there is often a commitment that we make.
Yes.
And then sometimes I have to ask myself, where am I with the commitments? Where am I? Yes. The Lord's placed a call. I had a burden. The Lord met that. I feel like the Lord gave me a way forward, and I got up with my countenance changed. And then as the time has gone by, and this is kind of, now I'm like, well, okay, well, where am I in if those commitments and those consecrations that I made to the Lord? She brought him when he was young. And they slew the bullock, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. I don't know if Eli remembered this or not. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there.
Yes, thank the Lord.
You know, that's part of the depth of our relationship with God, is that there are, and again, speaking to some of those heavier things in life, there are some consecrations that we make that are really, as long as I live. That was what Samuel was. The Lord met the desire of her heart. He changed her whole life in that moment. He put her feet kind of on a new path. And then her follow through, so to speak, or her commitment to what the Lord had done was as long as he liveth. It would have been hard the next year not to come back and say, okay, can he come home now? Because that's our human nature, is to go back and to pick up again sometimes those things. And I don't remember how I felt. We have really short memories sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't remember the desperation I felt when I was really in a tough place, and the Lord met that, and I kind of got it settled. The Lord answered it. I gave it to him. There was a commitment I made, and then I kind of went on, and I it's easy to forget what the Lord did there. And then that's usually when I'm tempted to go back and say, well, I can. Samuel means something to me. That was the Lord's promise. I sure would love to have him around the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit long here. I don't want to take too long this morning, but I want to read her prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation.
Yes.
There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Oh, this is experience.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
This was Hannah remembering where she was, and her focus wasn't on Samuel really at all. God did this for me.
Right.
And the praise and the glory and the honor of my heart is turned towards my rock, my God. And this is where she took refuge. It wasn't in the blessing. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for the blessings. But that's not what we worship.
Right.
I don't worship the answers that God gives me.
That's right.
If in my frailty, the Lord hears my cry and he touches me, I'm thankful for it. But that's not what we worship.
That's right.
We don't gather this morning and worship the works just in our body.
Right.
I worship the one
that
has been the rock, that has touched the places in my life. This is what makes my heart overflow.
Yes, that's right.
It's what allowed the three Hebrew children to say, whether he takes us out of the fire or not.
That's right.
We don't worship God because he took us through the fire and didn't slay us. We worship God because he's God.
Yes.
Because he's worthy of it. Because he is my fortress and he is my strength. And he sees me and he understands me. And he knows he knows all the things about me. So I worship God because he is God. Hannah had a hold of this.
Yes.
She didn't worship God because of Samuel. She worshiped God because of who he was.
Yes.
So then in those places of commitment and consecration before the Lord, I'm desperate before him, and however he answers that, he is still God.
Yes.
He is still the source of, he's still everything. And that's what she said. Her enemy was the other wife. He's enlarged my mouth. Do you think that means it meant she had something to say back? It meant that the praise of her mouth was greater.
That's right.
That the response that came out wasn't, well, your children are ugly, or my son serves in the house of the Lord now. The reaction that wasn't something that was greater to bite back. It was what's come out of my mouth is glory and honor to God.
Yes.
And that's what the devil cannot stand. He comes and he pokes and he pushes those tough places. And then what comes out of our mouth is glory to God in the highest. And he's enlarged my mouth over my enemies. He's changed the place that we're in. This was the testimony of her heart. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They are full, have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh the poor, and he maketh the rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. This testimony, the vision that Hannah had from this experience, do you find it's that way with the Lord sometimes? Is that there's knowledge that we have, but that's different than having vision and understanding, the revelation. And it's in some of these closest places where our heart is. She was bitter and sore, and it wasn't easy. But when the Lord ministered to her and she kept that commitment, and there was a revelation in her heart, there was an understanding. I think in these places is where we find our growth. It's where we find our deepening. It's where we find our maturity in the Lord. So Lord, help me that as the Lord answers my cry,
yes,
as he draws me along, and I appreciate the touches that he gives.
Yes.
I want to be faithful to follow through on those things.
Yes.
There's I wrote it down here, but I'll just call it to your memory. Samuel was a prophet then, and Saul was king, and he told him to kill all the Amalekites.
Yes.
And he didn't do that. I thought of the contrast that was there, that here he had been made king. In that same passage, he says, when thou wert little in their own sight, you did great things. There was a lot of blessings in Saul's life. Lord blessed him, made him king. But then there came a time, and there came a commandment, and there came a direction. And if you read down through that, about three times he stuck to his guns. He really, it was the people that did it. Oh, well, we did it for the Lord. And at one point Samuel said, well, okay, I'll tell the Lord what you said. And he said, yeah, go tell him. Go tell him what I said. The difference that I see between Hannah and here's the King Saul, King of Israel, that he stood on his own merit and his own thought process. Some of the battles that we face in life, some of the burdens that we carry, some of the closest places, the Lord will bring instruction when he brings that divine touch. He brings some understanding, a revelation that. And I've had it happen for me. The Lord, I've been for a while, and the Lord comes and he gives instruction that this is how to deal with this place, this heavy place. And I'm thankful for the Lord's that touch from the Lord. But then I've got to follow through.
Yes.
If I want the blessing of the Lord really stay, to really hang on to what he's brought, then I'm going to have to do the things that he's commanded me to do. And there's just, with Saul, there was just so many qualifications that he had. Just a couple other thoughts here. Just, I was thinking about Paul in a couple places. He said that he knew who he believed in.
Yes.
And he was persuaded that he was able to keep that which he had committed against that day. Whenever I find myself struggling with some of the commitments and the consecrations, it's good for me to remember the ability and the greatness of God to continue to carry those places. Paul went through a lot of things. You read the how he learned to both be abased and abound was because his experience was not easy. I don't know. I've never been to Africa like some of you all here. But is it just always rose petals and just, you know, you just go and the food's great and you feel good the whole time? Man.
No, sir.
Make a commitment. The Lord makes a call, and then we enter into that. And it's not always just easy. You would think in our mental, in our own estimation, well, I'm doing the work of the Lord. Everything just ought to line up like boxcars, but it's typically not like that. It's that test of faith even through all the way. Lord, you've made this commitment, and I'm going to follow this through.
Yes.
And that's why Paul had learned that, you know, all the things in his life, the questions, the places where the Lord had come and ministered, he had learned to just commit those things to the Lord. Lord, those are yours. Some situations I'd rather not work out like they have. I'd rather not. Can't change them. I can stay. There are some things in the past that I could labor and labor and labor under. I could just continue to just labor, and they're finished. They're done. And at some point, I have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to give those things to you.
Right.
You have to say in a sense, Lord, you've made your choice.
Yes, that's right.
You've given me your decision, and I accept it. Lord, I can commit. I know who I have believed in.
Yes.
I know in whom I trust. And Lord, you've decided that, and I give it to you. I let you carry it. And then the Lord is the one that comes down then and changes our countenance from.
Yes,
the enemy comes back and likes to remind us of this and that, and that's where we want to point back and say, no, I know whom I have believed in.
Yes.
I feel like that's what the Lord would have for us this morning. I want to encourage each one of you in your journey to heaven that whether it's old things in the past or new things in the future, to keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
If you've carried burdens for a while and it feels like the Lord hasn't given you the answer, keep pressing.
Yes.
Like Hannah did. Keep going back to that altar of prayer. Lord, this is tough. But I'm looking for, and I'm... There's a phrase we call martyr syndrome. I can just speak like your home folk, yeah. If you don't know me that well. But martyr syndrome is that I just live under the weight of everything all the time, and that's just where my attention is. The Lord has an experience for us, and we don't have to live in the martyrdom of some of the... He has a joy for us.
Yes,
he can change our countenance.
Yes.
He can carry those things. So if you've been carrying some burdens, I want to encourage you to keep pressing.
Yes.
But keep pressing with an expectation like Hannah had that the Lord is going to meet this. And then when He does, you give it to the Lord.
Yes.
You give it to Him and you leave it with Him.
Yes.
Say, Lord, You touched this place. You gave me inspiration. And now this is Yours. You can trust Him.
Yes, thank you.
With the burdens and the things of our life.
Yes.
Even the big things, the small things too. Kind of like that song said, not thinking about the yard. Sometimes I have to think about just the inches. And I could preach a whole message this morning about just the provision of God. The hairs on your head are numbered. Heard a brother in Guthrie talk about that, and he said, you bald people, but I got hair right here. So I got hair right there. He knows all the ones I've ever had and don't have any longer. But we could stay here all day and talk about the way that God loves each one of us and sees every part of us. So I encourage you to lean into that.
Yes.
And cast your burden on the Lord. That He will carry it for us. It's one of the greatest treasures of walking with the Lord and making heaven our home, is that we can carry, we can take the heaviest things, even in the sound of that adversary that likes to talk, and give those things to the Lord. I trust you've been encouraged, and I want to see you in heaven. Pray for me. I think like Paul, I don't want to preach to others and then not myself have been a castaway. Lord, help me to make it. Lord, help me to keep my hand in Yours. Keep us in Your prayers.
Yes, amen.
Thank the Lord.